produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Kings chapter 3. And as we're looking at 2 Kings chapter 3, we will have some additional verses that we'll pick up along the way in the teaching. But I want to look at 2 Kings chapter 3. And in looking at 2 Kings chapter 3, I want to pick up at verse 11. And let me skip around in a few verses. I don't want to read all of the verses this week. Let me just skip around in 2 Kings chapter 3, so that you can be familiar with what will be constituted in the teaching, beginning at verse 11. And I want to read verse 11 and 12, and then I'll skip down, and I'll call it off so y'all can be upstairs in agreement with me. 2 Kings chapter 3, I'm reading from the Message version, even though I'm preaching from Message and the King James Version. 2 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. And it reads, "But Jehoshaphat said, 'Isn't there a prophet of God anywhere around through whom we can consult God?' One of the servants of the king of Israel said, 'Elijah, the son of Shaphat, is around somewhere, the one who was Elijah's right-hand man.' Jehoshaphat said, 'Good, a man we can trust.' So the three of them, the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Edom, went to meet him." I want to skip down. I need to skip down. Go to verse, let's skip to verse 16. "He then said, 'God's word, dig ditches all over this valley. Here's what will happen. You won't hear the wind. You won't see the rain. But this valley is going to fill up with water, and your army and your animals will drink their fill. This is easy for God to do. He will also hand over Moab to you. You will ravage the country, knock out its fortifications, level the key villages, clear cut the orchards or the trees, clog the springs, and litter the cultivated fields with stones.'" Verse 20 reads, "In the morning, it was at the hour of morning sacrifice, the water had arrived, water pouring in from the west, from Edom, a flash flood filling the valley with water." Let me read verse 21 and 22. "By this time, everyone in Moab had heard that the kings had come up to make war against him, and everyone who was able to handle a sword was called into service and took a stand at the border. They were up and ready early in the morning when the sun rose over the water from where the Moabites stood. The water reflecting the sun looked red like blood." And let me read verse 23 since I'm there. "Blood. Look at the blood," they said. "The kings must have fought each other. A bloody massacre. Go for the loot, Moab." I'll stop right there. As we look at this series of sermons, this trilogy of sermons, we discovered on last week, and without going into full details, that the prophet has given a word to these three kings. He said to them, "Y'all have come together, and since the three of y'all have come together, I know you've been journeying 7 days in the wilderness, And since you've been 7 days in the wilderness, you have run out of water. There is no more water for you to drink or for your horses and your cattle to drink. You need water. It's been 7 days. You've been wandering in the wilderness and you've been unable to obtain water. And somebody at Jehoshaphat, they decide there is a prophet, a man of God. Somebody says it's Elijah with a J's right-hand man. It's Elijah with an S. Elijah with a J had done miracles. He had done tremendous miracles. You had seen Elijah with a J just come on the scene in 1 Kings chapter 17. Matter of fact, he was from Tishbite. We really don't have any inclination of where Tishbite is. It's simply a remote place. And the Bible says that Elijah shows up on the scene. When he shows up on the scene, Elijah shows up and all of a sudden he's given a word. And the word is that it won't rain for 3.5 years. And for those 3.5 years, it was considered a drought. And he is told by God that God says, I'm going to feed you. You just got to do and go where I say go. God has allowed ravens to feed him. And he tells him while he's at Cherith in 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm talking about Elijah's right hand. Elijah, the one that trained and tutored and mentored Elijah with an S. In 1 Kings chapter 17, he tells him and lets him know. He says, I want you while you're at Cherith to get up, leave from there, because I need for you to go to Zarephath. Because I have prepared a widow woman there that will provide for you, and she's going to feed you. He goes to Zarephath and he leaves the cutting place. That's what Cherith means, the cutting place. He leaves the cutting place going to Zarephath, and on his way while there in Zarephath, he sees the woman gathering sticks. And as she's gathering sticks, he says, go and make for me a bread, a piece of cake, and bring me a little water. And she says, I don't have nothing, but what I have is for me and my son. And we getting ready to eat that, and we getting ready to die. And the Bible allows us to know in 1 Kings chapter 17 that she does, with a little words and ambiguity, she does exactly what he's asked of her. And the meal in the barrel does not run out, because God, the Bible allows us to have an inference that God somehow allows the meal not to run out, simply because God somehow is providing a source that is unidentified that keeps on pumping meal every time she takes what she feels is a last. That's a whole nother word for a whole nother day. But when you think you're giving all that you have to God, don't you dare think that's all you have, because God always has a little more that he's pumping in the reserve that you can't see. I'm a living witness to that, that God will give you more if you trust him with what he has given to you. You give him the little strength you have and watch God prepare for you and give you the strength you need to do what it is he's assigned for you to do. And the Bible allows us to know that when you turn the page in 1 Kings chapter 18, that notice that Elijah is there thinking he's the only one. He thinks that he's the man that is the only one that has ever had to deal with issues surrounding depression. And he's the only one that's left standing for God. And God says no. He says you keep on standing and don't you dare sit down. The Bible says in chapter 18, he goes to Baal and he allows Baalism to know that y'all are gods that are controlled gods. Your God is controlled by my God. My God controls all gods. And it's at that moment that Baalism has to take a back seat, because Baal can't show up like God can show up. I need to let somebody know that you need to realize realize that no matter how much you think the stuff you have is in control of your life, you better realize one thing, that God is in control of everything. It's in him that we live, it's in him that we move, and it's in him that we have our being. 1 Kings chapter 19, he gets depressed. Elijah, I'm talking about Elijah with a J. He gets depressed. And like many of us, he suffers from the standpoint of somebody has said something about him that he can't handle. Matter of fact, Jezebel, Ahab, the wicked king Ahab's wife, has said she's going to cut off, annihilate Elijah with a J's head. She's going to cut it off. And Elijah thinks so much of Jezebel and Ahab that she feels that she can do what God is unable to prevent. And the Bible says depression ensues. You know, depression occurs in your life, and I'm giving you this. You can take it however you want to take it. Depression occurs when you have placed more on yourself than you've allowed God to have. I know you can't understand that. Let me see if I can make that clear. You got to realize it's some stuff you can't handle. When you realize you can't handle it, but God can, you'll learn how to say God is going to show up, because God knows his business a whole lot better than me. It's no need of me worrying about it. It's no need of me falling apart about it, because I'm trusting in God. I know some trust in chariots, others trust in horses, but I'm going to trust in the name of God. You got to place everything you have. You got to place it in God. That's what 1 Kings chapter 19 teaches us. And as the pages go on in 2 Kings chapter 1, Elijah tells Elijah with an S, I know I'm getting ready to leave, so if you around when I leave, he says, that's good. And Elijah with an S says, I ain't finna let you go, because I need a double portion of what you got. He says, I don't want just a single portion. I want a double portion. I've been a faithful steward. I've been with you. I've been with you every step of the way. So it's befitting that if you leaving, it means I'm getting ready to come up, because I've been faithful. Okay, so this is what occurs. Elijah, the Bible says, is taken up by a whirlwind. And Elijah with a J, he's taken up with a whirlwind. And as he's taken up, his mantle falls. His mantle falls to the ground. And as the mantle falls, they've walked across on the other side of the Jordan. Because Elijah with a J, to separate himself from him and Elijah with an S from everybody else, he strikes the Jordan River and it separates. They walk across, go to the other side, and now a craft has taken Elijah with a J up. Elijah with an S is left. And he sees the mantle fall to the ground. And he picks up the mantle. And he says, how am I going to get back over? Ain't nobody going to believe what has just occurred. I've seen my master leave. But they'll never see it if I don't put into practice what I've just learned. Notice what he does. He's standing separated from everybody else because a vehicle has taken Elijah with a J up and out of here. Elijah with an S is left behind. And as he's left behind, he realizes, how am I going to get across the Jordan? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do with the thing that I got in my hand, the same thing I saw my master do.
and he strikes the Jordan and the Jordan parts. He walks across and his ministry now explodes. I need to help somebody. You need to understand that when God blesses you, it is not just for you. He's blessing you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. And let me help out some people in here that you've been a bad mentor. This is a good time for you to get it right. If all you done shown people is how to drink and smoke, maybe it's time for you to show them another way. Good that Elijah with a J truly poured into Elijah with an S. Because notice, I read to you in verse 11 and 12 and 13, they said, this is the right hand of Elijah with a J. So what are we going to do? We're going to go get him because we know he's a man of God. Verse 16, as we read it, he says, listen, this is what you got to do. Dig ditches. While you're in the valley, I need you to dig ditches. And here we discovered on last week, that was our first major point, that you got to dig some ditches. Now, he does not want us to dig a few ditches. You got to go ditch digging. Because notice, the amount of water you need is related to the amount of digging you do. I knew somebody wasn't going to get that. So let me break it down since you want to talk about it. And I hadn't talked about it in a while. You see, that's what tithe and offering is. The more I dig, the more I open up for God to bless my life. I know some of y'all can't get with that. You can only get with the praying part. You can't get with the tithing part. But the more I dig, I don't care how much I dug last year. I don't care what I dug in 22. I don't care how much I dug in 21. I've got to dig in 24 because I know that the valley that I'm in, I'm expecting God to flood the valley, but I need somewhere for the water to go. Is there anybody here that knows that I need God to control the flood enough that he directs the channel of where the flood goes? Is there anybody here that knows that God will flood the valley? He just won't flood me while I'm in the valley. So notice what he does. Tells them to dig many ditches. As they dig those places in the valley, because remember we discovered that we asked the question, why don't God just take me out the valley? If God takes me out the valley, I wouldn't know that I could have victory in the valley. It's some stuff that I need to go through at the level I'm on before God takes me to another level. So notice what he does. He tells them to keep on digging. I need you to dig some ditches. And then secondly, we discovered on last week that God will not show up in conventional means, but unconventional. Well, let me see if I can make this clear, because we need to understand that the prophet has already spoken a word. We know what a prophet is. A prophet, the word prophet, the term prophet literally means a seer. And a seer is one who sees. Okay. A seer is one who sees and hears what God says before God does what he's going to do. You got to understand what a prophet is. Many of us, we laugh at what the word of God is through the man or woman of God, not understanding that is that word that's going to help us make it through the flood. What happens if you laugh at what Elijah says and don't dig? Then when the flood that you don't see coming happens, the water has nowhere to go but to flood you. Okay,
let me get on to the next thing I need to tell you. You got to understand, you won't see what God is going to do, but God is going to do it. And you will have everything you need. Okay, let me tell you this. I need everybody to listen up and hear this when I say this. There are two seasons that you got that I want to discuss today you're going to have. Number one, you're going to have a dry season. If you don't mind, wake up somebody next to you and tell them you're going to have a dry season. If you're online, just type it in and just shout, you're going to have a dry season. And dry seasons do not mean God is not with you. Because many of us, we've been taught by bad theology and bad preaching that a dry season means God is against us. It could mean God is pushing us somewhere we don't want to go. You're in a dry season right now, and you don't understand why you're in a dry season of your life. But I need you to understand that regardless of how dry the season is in your life, that God is still with you. Somebody needs to just touch themselves and shout, God is still with me. In my dry season, God is still with me. In my season when I don't understand, God is still with me. In my season where I've had sleepless nights, God is still with me. In my season where I walked around all night long and I couldn't find rest, God is still within my season. When I laughed and nothing was funny, God is still with me. In my season where I cried and there was nothing that I thought about, I need you to understand that God is still with you. Is there anybody here that knows that I might have a dry season, but God is still with me? Look at somebody, tell them you in your dry season, but don't you dare think God is not with you. Because even in a dry season, the Lord is still with you. I got a dry season. Notice for 7 days they walked around and they can't find water. And they thought they were doing what God had assigned them to do in case they had war with their enemy, the Moabites. They were together. So now they start second guessing the very thing they've done. They start saying stuff like, maybe God brought us here to kill us all. Have you ever had a dry season where it seemed as if God was trying to kill you? Okay, let me talk to myself for a minute, because y'all too quiet today. Y'all sitting there looking like you ain't never had no dry season. Y'all all sitting there looking like it's wet season for you. But for me, I've had some dry seasons. I've had some seasons where it seemed as if every turn I made, it was one of them days where it seemed as if every car that was on the street was trying to take me out. It seemed as if everybody, in the words of Norman Rockwell, was looking at me. Somebody was watching me. Is there anybody here that knows that it was a dry season? But I thank God that God is still with me even in my dry season, because in my dry season it teaches me that if God can allow me to make it through that, is there anybody here that knows there's nothing I'm not going to be able to do? Look at somebody, tell them you in a dry season, but don't give up, because the Lord is still with you. I'm in a dry season, trying to figure it out. I pray. And God just won't answer me. In my dry season, I'm trying to figure out, why did God do that? God, you know I pray and I fast. You know I give and I serve. And Lord, you know I love you. You know I tell you every morning at 4 a.m. I get up and I tell you how much. Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? I don't understand why in the world this is going on. Lord, why did this happen? It's a dry season. But can I help you? Because in your dry season, You got to realize that is not the only season.
Look at somebody, tell them that ain't the only season. And I got to take the good with the bad. I got to learn how to thank God for the bad just like I thank him for the good. I got to learn how to know that God is still God even when it don't work out in my favor. Because sometimes God is protecting me from me.
Okay, that's a dry season. Let me tell you the second season because... before I tell you the dry season is over, understand Elijah faced the dry season, I already told you, in Zarephath and in Cherith, he faced his dry season. But even though he faced his dry season, that is not the only season. And Elijah with the S had to watch Elijah with the J deal with a dry season. And he watched with dignity how his mentor handled his dry season because he understood that's not the only season. Okay, let me tell y'all, since you're leaning in and you're going to listen today, not only is there a dry season, but there's also, and in that dry season, you've got to realize that dry seasons have a way coming back on you. Just because you get out of one dry season don't mean you ought to out of all your dry seasons. Baby, dry seasons are circular. They will come back on you. Is there anybody here that knows that that's why I gotta have a song in my dry season? That's why I gotta have prayer in my dry season. That's why I need some people praying for me. It's because I gotta handle my dry season.
He's got a dry season, but there is another season.
Oh, before I tell you that other season, let me tell you this, because in verse 18 of 2 Kings chapter 3, it allows us to see that notice in 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 18, and I want to try to, let me see if I can find it in that message version. Do y'all have it? Okay, notice in that message version, it says, he then said, God's word, dig ditches all over the valley. Here's what will happen. You're going to hear the wind. You won't see the rain. This valley is going to fill up with water. Your army and your animals will drink their fill. This is easy for God to do. Before I tell you, not only is there a dry season, I need to tell you that third thing I need to tell somebody, and I'll get back on that dry season in a second and tell you what other season it is. You got to understand that this is an easy thing for God to do. Look at somebody shout, it's easy. It's easy for God to do. That's what the King James Version says. It says, and this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Not only is he going to fill your valley, but he's also going to fight your battle. Look at somebody tell him, I know that's right. So not only is he going to fill my valley, he's also going to fight my battle. Okay, y'all don't believe it. Let me see if I can make it plain. Go to Exodus chapter 14. Y'all can put that verse up on the screen. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, and I'm reading this from the actual King James Version of the Bible. In Exodus chapter 14, man, listen, you got to understand that God fights our battles. Look at somebody, tell him he fights our battles. It's an easy thing for God to do. It's an easy thing. It's a light thing for our God. Notice what he does in verse 13. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not. Look at somebody tell them, don't be afraid. That's the wrong person. Look at somebody tell them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what God is getting ready to do. Don't be scared because God says, don't be afraid. Now notice, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see that? Notice he says, which he will show to you today. He does not say tomorrow, but today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. All you got to do is keep quiet and hold your peace. Look at somebody and tell them, shut your mouth. That's the word for this week. Shut your mouth. Look at somebody tell them, shut your mouth this week. Yeah, stop talking about everything too much. Just shut your mouth. Let the Lord fight for you. Notice what he says. He says in verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying to me? I know the folk are crying to you and murmuring and complaining. But speak to the children of Israel, tell them to go forward. Okay, after you shut your mouth, move forward. The problem is many of us, we want to shut our mouths and we want to just be still. God says, shut your mouth and move forward. See, you vote by the way you talk. Many of us don't realize that you vote by the way you talk, by the things that you say. You've got to learn how in this season, shut your mouth and learn how to move forward and watch what God does. You move forward, I'm going to fight on your behalf. Okay. Notice, you got to understand it's a light thing. It's easy for God to do what he's getting ready to do. He's delivering your enemy into your hand. He's doing one of two things. He's going to deliver your enemy into your hand, or he is delivering you out of the enemy's hand. Y'all didn't shout about that. Okay. You see, many of us, we got to learn how to know that God is going to either deliver us from our enemies, or God is going to move us on so our enemies can't get us. All right, let me move on. Here's the next thing I got to tell you. We are winning over everything that stands in our way. Winning over everything that stands in our way. In 2 Kings chapter 3, notice they're digging the ditches in the valley, and while they're digging the ditches in the valley, verse 19 says, and you shall smite every, I'm reading from the King James Version, and you shall smite every fenced city, every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, stop all wells of water, and you're going to mar, scuff up every good piece of land with stones. So the next point is you got to understand, in this season, I'm winning over everything that stands in my way. That's why you got to be careful which side you on. Because you might be standing in the way of a victory God is about to give to me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person beside you. You got to understand that the reason why I got to be careful and cautious of what I say is because I might be the very one that's standing in the way of what God is getting ready to do. And I don't want to become part of the landscape. I want God to allow me to continue in the victory march. Okay, notice I'm winning over everything that stands in my way. Notice when he says you're going to win. Verse 20 says, in the morning. He says, when you come and bring your gift offering, you win. Look at somebody shout, my victory is on the way. Y'all didn't shout about it, okay. I told you got to watch what you say. If you're going to talk about your victories on the way, you can't sit there and act like you ain't got victory. Since I know victory is on the way,
I've got to celebrate in advance because I already know that what I'm facing, it will not defeat me. It is already defeated because God has already given me the victory. Is there anybody here that knows I'm getting ready to throw a party because I understand that everything that's been trying to victor over me has now become my victim, and God has given me the victory. So I'm declaring that in this season, everything that comes up against you that is not of God, you will have victory over it.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, it's rough. I told you the definition of a prophet is a seer. A seer is one who sees and hears what God says before God does what he's going to do. In other words, when somebody like me says, you're going to have victory, I need to start getting ready. Because that means victory is imminent.
Okay. All right. Watch this. I'm done. I got to leave. I'm done. Y'all done had me work too hard today. Notice what happened. Here's the last thing I tell you. Not only do I have what I desire by morning, but I also have my deliverance. You see, God is allowing my enemies to see one thing when it's really something else. Verse 23 says, they saw blood, and in their mind they thought that the three kings had killed one another. So they come in the valley with the assumption that they have the victory. And when they come in the valley thinking they have victory, they don't realize it's been set up for them to lose. You see, that's why you got to be careful. Because you think you're digging a ditch for somebody to fall in. God says, I want you digging a ditch because it's for you to rise in. I'm done. Man, y'all sitting on me looking. Some of y'all ain't said nothing the whole service. I'm done. You got to understand that in this season of victory, that I know that God gives me the deliverance and he's doing it by morning. My enemies see one thing, but it's something else. They see death, but it's not my death. It's their death. You see, what's death to one is life to somebody else. Okay, I know what you're upset about. You saying it's two seasons. You told us about one season, which was dry season. But you didn't tell us the other season. Okay, let me close it up. I'm done. Because, see, I know that was going to mess with y'all. And I knew you was going to sit there saying, Pastor done lost it. He finna turn 50. And he forgetting in his sermon what he preaching. No, your boy ain't lost it. Your boy still the sharpest knife in the drawer. I wish somebody could grab hold of that. You got to understand that it's a dry season. But let me tell you the second season. The second season is there's a due season. Is there anybody here that knows that it's due season? Look at somebody tell them it's due season. I don't know what you're dealing with, but understand when you come out of your dry season, it's due season. Look at somebody, tell them it's due season for me, because I've been in dry season long enough. Is there anybody here that knows the reason why I'm walking around doing the things that I'm doing is because it's my due season. The reason why I'm walking around and I'm talking to myself and ain't nobody around is because it's my due season. The reason why I'm walking around on my tiptoes the way I'm walking, it's because you don't understand. It's my due season. Is there anybody here that knows it's due season? Look at somebody, tell them it's due season. I don't know what's due to you, but God said it's due season. Look at somebody, tell them it's my season. And that means that whatever God has for me, that it is for me. I'll see y'all next time around, but grab somebody's hand and
let them know it's my due season. In other words, it's time for God to do what he said. Is there anybody here that knows the reason why I'm walking around looking at the building the way I am? It's because it's due season. The reason I'm looking at my house the way I'm looking at it is because it's due season. The reason I'm opening my banking account and looking at the statement is because it's due season. Is there anybody here that knows it's due season? Grab somebody by the hand and let them know it's due season. Shout yeah! Shout yeah! Shout yeah! It's due season. Anybody know it's your season? Well, why don't you get up and just walk it out? Because it's my season. Shout yeah! It's my season. Shout yeah! Shout yeah! Shout yeah! It's my season. Anybody know it's your season? Grab somebody, rock them and shake them and rock them, and tell them it's your season. Zion! Come on, look at somebody, tell them it's due season. Tell them it's due season. You better celebrate, it's due season. It's due season. I don't know what you've been dealing with, but it's due season. I'm moving from dry season to due season. Shout due season. Due season. Due season. Due season. Due season. Come on, rub somebody. Come on, rub somebody. Just rub and tell them, baby, I don't know what your dry season consisted of, but we thank God that it's a new season. And the new season, it's due season. Everything that the devil stole, he can have that, because God is making it all new. Sorry. Come on. Anybody know it's due season? Anybody know it's due season? Anybody know it's due season?
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.